Our scripture lesson for today is found in Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head and rule of all authority. Heavenly Father God, this is your word. I thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word, the word that you have given me today. I pray, God, that you would just use your Holy Spirit to guide me today, and that we know that your word does not go out void. And we pray, God, that you I pray, God, that you would use the meditations of my heart, that they'd be pleasing to you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name, amen. We are currently in an epidemic in our country. We're facing an epidemic in our country of historic proportions. An epidemic that, if something is not done about it, it will change the lives of many people in our country forever. This epidemic is not COVID-19. This is the epidemic of young people leaving our church. According to Pew Research, 4 in 10 Americans between ages 23 and 38 now are religiously unaffiliated. And this is the biggest drop in religiosity between generations ever recorded. Research conducted by LifeWay of 18 to 30-year-olds found that there are several reasons for why they're leaving. Some students stop going to church because they move to college and they just don't go anymore. Some see church members as judgmental and hypocritical. They also leave the church because they don't feel connected to the people in the church. And some disagree with the church's stance on political and social issues. For whatever reason they're leaving, they're continuing to leave, and many do not return. This is an epidemic that has eternal consequences. Our scripture passage for today gives us hope for us and for the next generation. In fact, Colossians 2, 6, and 7 is the basis of the name of our youth ministry here at Abiding, of Rooted. It's also the basis of Rooted's mission statement, that the ministry of Rooted will win and build youth through biblical teaching and discipleship so that they become rooted in Christ, established and equipped in faith to further the kingdom of God. The truth of God's word is unchanging and it's eternal. When we receive Christ and live for him, we are equipped to face the harm and corruption that this world has for us, and we do not need to fear because we have the power of God in the Holy Spirit giving us exactly what we need right when we need it. And as we, as followers of Christ, become established in our own faith, rooted and established in our own faith, we can come alongside our next generation to help them become rooted and established in theirs. Well, the first truth that we see in our text is that we must first receive Christ. And this may seem obvious, but the single most important thing that a person can do in their life is receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Without a saving faith in Christ, it does not matter what else you do. It doesn't matter how much money you give to the poor, or how many lives you save, or how many times you pray, or how many times you read your Bible, or how many times you come to church. None of that matters if you do not have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. You have no hope or assurance of salvation. To receive Christ means that you must first realize that you are completely and utterly broken, that you are not perfect. And the desire of your sin nature makes you resist God at all costs. In fact, we as humans are incapable of even believing in Jesus as our Savior unless we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us to that faith. Salvation is a gift from God, and it's His desire that no one perish. In Ephesians, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. This is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast." God's grace is not something that we deserve, and it's not something that we can earn. And the only thing we can do is receive it, which also means we can reject it. God could not have made it any easier for humanity to be saved. Yet there are so many who reject His gift and go their own way. This is because of their desire to follow their own will and to continue to do what is right in their own eyes and to follow the passions of their heart. In order to receive Jesus into our life, we have to be honest and authentic. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with God, and we have to recognize our need for Him. We need to admit that we are not okay, that we struggle with sin, and that we often run to that sin instead of running to God. And we need to stop comparing ourselves with the rest of the world and focus on what's wrong with us instead of focusing on what's wrong with everybody else. We need to give up our pride and allow God to work in us and through us. And we need to repent and we need to admit our weakness to God so that He can use us to love each other as the broken sinners that all of us are. Receiving Christ changes everything because it's no longer us who lives, but Christ living in us. And it's in this that we have hope, and it's this hope that we pass to the next generation. Well, as we receive hope from Christ being the center of our life, we come to the second truth in our scripture for today, that we are to walk in Him. But what does it mean to walk in Him? How do we do this? To walk in Christ means that you are to be living for Him, that this is the idea that we walk in His footsteps, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. As Pastor Kirk mentioned last week, everything that we do unto Christ. Our lives as Christians are to reflect the attributes of Christ, and we walk in Him by becoming rooted and built up and established in our faith. But how do we do this? Well, first, it's by reading God's Word. I've talked to several people who are stressed out or they're struggling with a sin or maybe an addiction or marriage problems, and the first thing I ask them is, how's your devotional life? How is your relationship with Jesus? And the answer I most always get is, I don't have a devotional life, or I haven't been too much in the Word lately. To walk in Christ means that we must be rooted in God's Word. We need to study it, to know it, to meditate on it, to memorize it, and to apply it to every aspect of our life. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and sanctify us through it. God has given us everything that we need to know in His Word. And this is where we find the hope and the assurance of salvation. And knowing His Word builds us up and it strengthens our faith. Second, we become rooted, built up, and established in faith through the means of grace. In baptism, in the Lord's Supper. These means of grace are constant reminders that we don't contribute anything to our salvation. The only thing that we can give God is our sin and our brokenness. That is all we have to offer. And in return, God gives us His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. Baptism and communion remind us of the gospel, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's for the sake of Christ that God forgives us of all of our sins. It is this knowledge and the truth that leads us to a deeper understanding of God's love for us. And the final way we become rooted, built up, and established in faith is in discipleship. It's in being part of a faith community. We need each other. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to be honest with each other. We need to hold each other up and be accountable to strengthen our faith. We need to pray for one another and allow God to use us to be the hands and feet of Christ to each other. We need to stop pretending that we have all the answers, that we have it all together. And we need to admit our own weakness and our own struggle with sin. It says in James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." As Christians, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and ask for help. We need to be willing to ask for help from our brothers and sisters of Christ when we need it the most. And there is a joy that comes from being used by God to be the hands and feet of Christ to others. In fact, Paul says at the end of verse 7 that we will abound in thanksgiving. We can have joy in having this hope that and knowing that we are not alone. The Holy Spirit guides us and strengthens us to be there for one another, to strengthen each other, and to strengthen our own faith. And we need each other more than ever now. This world is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity. We're seeing the truth of God's word, the Christian principles that we hold dear, being attacked, sometimes violently. We need to be rooted. We need to be established in our own faith so that we can come alongside of our youth to help them become established in their faith. Because we have an enemy, Satan, who will use everything at his disposal that the world has to attempt to corrupt and destroy the faith of anyone who puts their faith in Christ. In verse 8, Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ." See, this verse is a contrast to the image that Paul gave in the previous verse. In verse 7, Paul gives a picture that the Christian faith is like a seed that's planted, that it needs to be nourished, it needs to be cared for, so that it can develop roots, that it can become built up and established, so that it'll be strong, unable to be uprooted. In verse 8, we see how Satan uses the things of this world, philosophy empty deceit, human traditions, and elemental spirits to corrupt and destroy faith. And he does this by planting seeds of doubt to lead people away from the truth. There's been a shift in our culture that portrays Satan as misunderstood. He's really not that bad of a guy. In fact, right now on Netflix, you could watch a TV show called Lucifer. And I have not seen this show, and I wouldn't recommend that anybody watch it. But in preparation for this message, I researched the premise of the show to see what it was about. And as far as I could tell, it was about Lucifer Morningstar, or Satan, who becomes bored of being in hell, and he moves to Los Angeles to open a nightclub and becomes a consultant for the Los Angeles Police Department, solving crimes. This is just one example of how Satan begins his deception. It could not be any further from the truth, because the truth is that Satan hates you. Satan hates you and all of humanity with a wrath from hell that nobody could even imagine. To Satan, humanity is beneath him. Human beings are vermin and parasites, and he wants to see all mankind separated from God for eternity because that's the only way that he can hurt God. Satan wants nothing more than to cause chaos and doubt and distraction to keep people from receiving the free gift of God's grace and salvation. Satan does not show himself as he truly is. He doesn't present himself as a hideous, evil, ugly monster. Satan comes as an angel of light, presenting an alternative truth to God's word that seems legitimate and desirable. This is the same deception that Satan used against Adam and Eve in the garden. He deceived them. They began to doubt. They questioned God and his love for them. He tempted them with a desire to know their own truth, their ability to follow their own will and not to do the will of God. He gave them the opportunity to doubt God, which weakened their faith and led them away from him. And things have not changed for millennia. Satan still uses the same strategies to attempt to choke out and destroy faith, to keep it from becoming rooted and established. In verse 8, Paul gives an example of the things that Satan uses to weaken faith. First, we see philosophy and empty deceit. See, Satan uses human philosophy to answer life's most difficult questions under the assumption of the lie that there is no God. In these attempts to explain creation and the origin of life, what is right and wrong, where our values come from, this is the first sin, that we don't need God to tell us what to do, that we are perfectly capable of determining what is right and wrong, what is true and false on our own. However, we know that this is a lie from the pit of hell. When we live our life by this philosophy, it builds up faith in the things of this world and in our own self-reliance, and it takes us away from the true faith and our reliance on God. Second, Satan uses human traditions. These are traditions that are contrary to Christian doctrine, and they divert our attention away from God. For example, instead of celebrating a day when Jesus Christ was born into this world, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and to save humanity from all sin, we focus on a benevolent elf that rewards children for good behavior. Or instead of celebrating the day when Christ rose from the grave, defeating the power of sin and death and the devil for eternity, we focus on and celebrate a bunny who hides colored eggs for children to find. Human tradition by itself is not bad, but it becomes bad when it cancels out the truth of the hope that we have for salvation. And third, Satan uses elemental spirits. He uses false religions to attempt to create confusion and doubt to distract from the truth. These can be false religions that are based on the idea that you have to do good works in order to be saved, like in Islam, or that the truth can be found within ourselves and that if we would just become better people, we can make the world better, like in New Age or in Eastern mysticism or Buddhism. Or even twisted forms of Christianity that claim that there's no such thing as hell or sin or the devil, that God loves everyone no matter what, and that you can have eternal life no matter what you believe. These false religions confuse and distract people from the truth, that there is only one way unto salvation, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ and in his death and resurrection. Satan will make every attempt to distract from the truth of God's word and from God's love of us. And this is why it's so important that we are rooted in our own faith so that we know what we believe and why we believe it, so that we can come alongside the next generation. Reaching this generation is not going to be without its challenges. It may cause us to have to do things that make us uncomfortable. We may have to be stretched by God to do His will. But the good news is that you are not alone. And that is the final truth that we see in our text, that God has not forsaken us, and He gives us His power through the Holy Spirit. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority." God came down from His throne in heaven. He became man. He walked among us. It is a historic moment, something that actually happened in history. He experienced everything that we experience. He knows what sin has done to His perfect world. He knows pain and death. He knows what it means to be despised and rejected, to be hated because of your belief. He knows grief and He knows sorrow. He knows all of this because He loved us so much that He became a man and He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross for your sin and for my sin and for the sins of the whole world. Church, our hope comes from the fact and knowing that we are not alone. When we receive Christ, we receive the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, and He leads us and He guides us, and there is nothing that we need to fear in this world because we have the power and the presence of God living inside us. God knows us better than we know ourselves because He created us, and He created us all for a purpose and for a reason, so that His glory would shine through us in even the darkest of circumstances. It is so important for us as followers of Christ to pass this truth down to our next generation. However, to do this is going to take more than just an hour in church or in Sunday school or a couple hours at youth group. It's going to take investment in all of us, in relationships with each other and with our next generation. To reach Christ for the next generation may mean that you have to do something that you are afraid to do. It may mean that you will be uncomfortable. But you do not need to fear, because that is when God will actually use you. God uses us in our weakness. In fact, it's in our weakness that His glory shines all the more bright. One truth that is evident through the entire Bible is that God is faithful to His promise. And He promised that He will never leave us or forsake us. And in that truth, we can place all of our hope and trust. In 1904, the country of Wales experienced a dramatic revival. About 70,000 people came to faith in Christ in 2 months, and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the results were dramatic. Bars closed because of lack of business. Crime nearly disappeared. Marriages and families were restored. Wales was so evangelically minded that it sent missionaries all over the world. One of those missionaries traveled to Argentina, where he met a young boy on the streets and he led him to faith in Christ. That boy's name was Luis Palau. He has been since become known as the Billy Graham of Latin America. In Palau, many years later, Palau visited Wales to express his thankfulness for being led to Christ. And what he discovered was astounding. Less than 0.5% of Welsh attended church. Divorce was at an all-time high and crime was increasing. As a result of this experience, Palau produced a film called God Has No Grandchildren. And the thrust of this film is that each generation is responsible for passing on the faith to the next. And in Wales, the impact of Christianity had all but disappeared. And in reality, if we as believers in this country do not share our faith with the next generation, we are one generation away from becoming extinct in our country. For the past year, I've had the privilege of getting to know many of the youth here at Abiding. These kids are amazing. They have a heart to evangelize in their school and lead others to Christ. Our students need us to grow deeper in their faith. However, it's often viewed as the pastor's job or the youth leader's job or the Sunday school teacher's job to give them everything that they need to be rooted and established. While all of that is important and absolutely does play a role, in all reality, it is not enough to reach the next generation for Christ. To help them become rooted and established in their faith is going to take every single solitary one of us, pastors and leaders, to continue to teach and to guide and to nurture relationships and disciple. Parents, modeling the significance of your own faith, reading your word, praying, becoming and showing that it's important to be part of a faith community, showing the importance of that. And as a congregation, we need to pray for our youth and our next generation and pray for our parents. Welcome them here as part of this community, that they have something to contribute to our congregation, that this is a place that they are loved and that they can express their concerns and their questions, and so that we can help them to discern their purpose and God's plan and purpose for their life. Reaching the next generation of Christ is going to take all of us. And so many people in our culture have given up on this next generation. They've determined that they're hopeless. However, we know that that is absolutely not true. We know that that's not hopeless, because as followers of Christ, we have the only hope that there is. And that hope is not found in anything that this world has to offer. It can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ, in a community of faith that will assist our next generation to be rooted and built up and established in their faith. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this congregation. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be the family life pastor here, to be able to spend time with our youth, to invest into that next generation. God, I pray that you will equip all of us to create those relationships, to seek out those opportunities, to help this next generation to become rooted and established and built up in the faith, in their faith. I just pray all these now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. God's word is indeed powerful and life-giving. If this broadcast has blessed you, would you contact us and let us know? We consider it a privilege to hear from you and to pray for you. If you've received a blessing, would you also give a blessing and ask God to lead you in partnering with us through prayer or with a gift to our radio ministry? Please contact us at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at 605-371-3800, or you can find us on the web at knowingthesavior.org. We're also excited to let our radio listeners know about Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, which is a new church plant in Rapid City, South Dakota. To find out more, please visit shilohfreelutheran.org or call 605-200-2758. We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our Lord bless you richly this day.